Welcome to Comically Exposed. This happens to be episode 12 that you are currently listening to. And my name is Gabby Blackman, and my co-host is
Heather Nye,
who's fabulous. And we have a very, very special guest, a friend who lives on the other side of the world, even though I tell her what? And she's brilliant. She's funny. She's awesome. She has OCD. And I'm going to let her introduce herself. So introduce yourself, Ege.
Hi, I'm Ege Ostokats. Thank you for having me.
Yay! Ege and I met over the pandemic. No big deal, but it's also how Heather and I met. And it was through UCB improv class, right?
Yes.
Yeah. 401, where we forged a deep, lasting bond. So Ege has listened to the podcast and had a little feedback, actually, about some of the flavors of OCD maybe not being correctly represented here. So you want to?
Yes. I love this like long pause.
Yes.
So please inform.
I am respectful. This is your platform. But on the first episode, you were like, oh, contamination OCD is such bullshit, some Hollywood crap. Like, who cares? Do you even know someone with contamination OCD? All these Hollywood types casting beautiful women, I'm sure you said that, washing their hands, being all clean, like Monica on Friends. That's stupid. That's not OCD. Real OCD is intrusive thoughts. And I was like, but I get eczema from washing my hands too much. I felt erasure. Mm-hmm. I felt oppression.
Good.
And I'm glad that you are giving me a chance to redeem all contamination OCD havers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we're giving you that chance. It's not going to work, but we are giving you a chance.
Look, just because we're more mainstream doesn't take it away from us, okay? Mm-hmm. We have the disorder, so yeah.
Yeah, it's all the same. It really is all the same. It's just what we do with it is very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because we're more shiny, yes, clean, yes, cute, beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. Popular.
Popular and hot.
More educated.
Everybody's jealous of
richer.
Us.
Richer. These are
richer.
So textbook OCD contamination stuff. Okay.
I'm so glad you have me to represent the contamination stuff.
Yeah, because all of those descriptors describe you.
Yes, they do.
They do, actually. Okay, so I have some actual questions. Well, first of all, thank you for coming on and telling us that you have contamination OCD. Do you have any other flavors of OCD?
I have some compulsive behaviors, but not all of them are contamination related, but I don't know how to articulate necessarily because my diagnosis was more contamination based because I got my diagnosis in the pandemic. And since I started my medication and I've been doing better, I let go of some of my talk therapy. Also because my psychologist offended me very deeply. She made a joke and I'm the last person who would be offended by a joke. But like, are you joking? She was like, oh, no, I wasn't joking. And I was like, that's even worse. And it's too personal. I think it's going to be very funny once I am able to say it on a podcast. I'll come back in 10 years.
Oh, shit, dude. Okay.
I started crying.
Just real quick, for the listeners at home, Ege is a stand-up comic, okay? I have seen her stuff. She talks about very personal stuff. So the fact that you don't want to talk about it right now is like, holy shit, I wish I could slap this doctor for you.
It's going to be so funny when I'm able to say it. That's how messed up it is.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm sorry
that happened to you. Yeah.
So I'm not very sure. I don't have the vocabulary to describe the flavors yet.
Hmm. Well, and you know, the truth is that the designations of what the different flavors of OCD isn't really effective, because OCD kind of latches on to things you care about the most.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, because I fall in the same thing, mine bounces everywhere. It's frustrating because you're like, is it enough OCD to call this OCD? Or, you know, and it's really the pattern, you know, the pattern of having an intrusive thought and then trying to cover it up with compulsions. Cover up the emotions, I should say, the uncomfortable feelings, the, you know, whatever sensation that you're feeling that it feels like you can't handle. The next step is compulsions to kind of, it's hard because there has been these designations of all the flavors, but then, you know, what gets ignored is what happens in your head sometimes, because I'm sure you have stuff that are compulsions in your head, and those don't get recognized as well.
I have so much.
Well, you've come to the right place, because we are known for fixing OCD. It takes about 20 minutes.
Of course, that's what you promised me.
Mm-hmm. I promised you that in $20, and you're not getting each of them. Okay, so I do have other questions. So you were diagnosed during the pandemic. That's intense. When did you first notice, like OCD stuff? Were you a kid? Was it 20 minutes ago?
When I was a kid, when I heard the first episode of the podcast. No, when I was a kid, I wasn't able to. My dad passed, and after that, I had a been very scared of disease, because he had cancer, and I basically watched him like slowly melt away, full human. And I was a kid. I didn't know a lot scientifically, so I was scared of everything that would turn me into that. I remember I wasn't able to like breathe on my food. Like if I have a plate of food in front of me, I would feel like maybe like some germs from my nose are going into my food and I'm eating them. So like weird, and my mother called it being weird.
Oh no.
So I kept going. I had different like tics or behaviors, but then in the pandemic it got real, because you know, contamination, like everybody was washing their bags of chips, so it gave me freedom to do the worst I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then actually not during the worst pandemic, because I felt so safe and happy in quarantine. I was like, this is what I wanted my entire life. Uh-huh. But then when I had to go back out, I couldn't. So that's when I started seeing a psychiatrist.
Yeah, that's so intense and makes so much sense. Like,
yeah,
especially being a kid, just being a kid in general, you have so little control in your life. And then to go through such an incredible tragedy of losing your parents. I'm so sorry, dude.
It's okay. It's main character vibes. Dead father. OCD contamination type. It's all good.
Yeah.
Great. And it sounds like you're cured. So,
I mean, Gabby, you did say I am a stand-up, so I think that's obvious.
Yeah, that's right, because you're freaking hilarious and will not take any of it seriously. I started back up with my OCD support group over the pandemic, and I would say it was probably 75% contamination folks who were just thriving during lockdown and also experiencing their greatest nightmare come to pass. Because I think across the board, OCD is like, hey, do you know if you just prep for everything that could possibly happen in the future, like you're good and all of your loved ones are going to be fine too. And then, you know, quarantine hits and everybody's like, see, we're washing our mail, the bags of chips, and it makes total sense. Yeah. And then everybody just had just the hardest time coming out. So how is it now, like leaving the house?
It's slightly better, but when I'm outside, I'm still very, if I touch something I find suspicious, I sanitize my hands immediately and stuff. It's gotten way better since I started medication. The first times I was going out after quarantine was over, it was way harder. Now it's better, but I still like have this separation of my house from the outside in my head. So if my house is contaminated, I'm still very serious about that. I did stop like washing groceries and stuff way later than most people. Mm-hmm. But still, some stuff are just dirty. You know, if I touch my wallet, it was dirty. I'm not going to touch my sheets after I touch my wallet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that's fair, but it's gotten better since I started taking my medication. I tried to go down on my dose,
yeah.
Lower my dose. It was really bad. It was really bad. And then I called to make an appointment with my psychiatrist to maybe get back to my original dose. And her assistant told me she's on leave until an unknown time. We don't know when she's going to be back. So I just went up on my dose anyway. And I feel happier.
Oh, I'm sorry for giggling. The amount of MacGyvering, the amount of like self-advocacy we have to do in order to get the help that we need is like, why does it happen to people who are going through a mental health crisis? Why is it that we're like, well, you seem like you should be in charge of your own health. You seem like you should be just out here making decisions and trying to like desperately get anybody to listen to you. That seems like a good call.
One of my best friends is a mental health professional. And when I was diagnosed with OCD and got prescribed the medication, it finally made sense in my head. I was like, yeah, I kind of knew, but like having a doctor validate it felt really good. And my mental health worker friend, because I'm so good at masking, she was like, oh, this is bullshit. These doctors give out medication for everything. I was like, I don't question your anxiety just because I don't see it. And she was really embarrassed. I was like, oh my God, how did I do this? How did I do this to you? It's been happening to me all my life. And I did the same to you. I was like, yeah, you were an asshole.
Way to shove it in your friend's face, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
No, but
seriously, that's what friends are for.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then especially like, I wonder right now, you're just putting a question in my head, masking. Do you think this is prevalent in more women with OCD, or do you think it's across the board or the gender?
I think men get to be weird without being stigmatized, mm-hmm. because they're like, if I have like a very particular set of rules for guests coming into my home, then I'm weird. But if I'm a man, I'm just eccentric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like a genius, mm-hmm. or something.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about Elon, right? We're all talking about Elon.
Yeah. When I went over to his house, he made me do some crazy stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's bizarre. He's like, wear a towel, but don't use your hands to put it on. It's weird. Mm-hmm. No, but seriously, I think it's like, so women probably mask more, societies where whiteness is prized. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you're not white, then you probably have to mask more. Mm-hmm. And I would say richness, right? It's always eccentric is the label, the more cash you have. And, you know, heterosexual, all the things. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's more accepted, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, we fixed it again. We fixed society.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Oh, hey, do you want to say like where you are, where you live? Not your address. I'm not saying like dox yourself.
Wait, I have to get a pen.
Well, as long as they follow the house rules, they can come over.
Mm-hmm. Two towels, no hands.
No, you just have to sanitize your hands before you touch anything mm-hmm. inside my home. Mm-hmm. But I have a weird feeling about you, it doesn't matter. I'm going to clean anyway.
People have dirty auras, you know, and that gets all over the place. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm.
Some people trigger my OCD more than others. And I don't know how it works. Some people are just dirtier to me in my head for no reason. I have no idea. They're dear friends whom I love. I just can't. I don't know. Okay. I'm in Istanbul, Turkey.
Woohoo.
Woo.
Okay. I just wanted the listener to, you know, geographically place you, and now that they have, we're going to switch topics. So you've talked a little,
just so you know, she can get jailed for something she says on this podcast. That's right, moving on.
That's right, we're gonna bleep out all the sensitive information for when we release it in Turkey. What is contamination OCD? Like, can you give the folks at home a little, I mean, we've talked about it a little bit, but like maybe not in general, but like for you, are there any other triggers that you want to talk about?
And don't feel forced into saying anything if you don't want to.
We can cut this whole episode.
We can just introduce you and then say your location and that's it.
I have this bit, but I do in my stand-up, like if a guest comes over, I have to keep mental track of every single surface they touch so I can clean immediately after they leave. But that's not enough, because what if they sit on my couch and I don't know how they came over? What if they took a bus to come to my place and they sat on a bus seat right after someone who sat on that exact same seat going home from the hospital, and they had all sorts of hospital germs on their butt? My friend's sister comes over, sits on my couch, I take a nap, boom, I die from bus seat disease. Oh. Am I right, ladies? So that's like keeping my home. Like if I touch something I think is dirty, I wash my hands immediately. I sanitize my hands a lot. I did get very serious scars from washing so much in the pandemic, and it's still not the best in winters, but it's mm-hmm. better now. And like I don't like sharing utensils or glasses. It's not that weird, but for me it's more dire if someone sometimes I'm embarrassed, someone wants to take a sip of my water and I'm like, okay, sure, and then it's garbage to me after that.
I think contamination is fascinating, contamination OCD, because the line between like what's just like a healthy understanding of germ theory and staying clean and hygiene and all of that, and then when does it start to kind of drift into like, oh, my hands are cracked and bleeding because, you know, I keep washing and sanitizing.
I once touched a door handle and tried not to wash my hands.
Ooh.
I lasted like more than a minute.
Oh.
That's pretty good.
And less than two. And then I was freaking out. It was terrible. Ruined my day. And my psychologist was like, no, you do it here. You don't do it on your own. But then she offended me. So I'm not exposing myself right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially if a minute. I mean, if a minute's too long, it should be more than like 5 seconds. That's my opinion. but when you were talking about your...
I will do it now.
Yeah, I know. Right, do it great. Now.
Because we're professionals, so you can go ahead and do this. And if you have a psychotic break, we can totally help you. Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, but it's interesting because your string of thoughts that you were just saying about things transpire into becoming a serious contamination of like face, butt, bus disease.
Mm-hmm. The classic.
Is exactly the way that I like my intrusive thoughts also kind of come in. Mine are more like, I don't know if I can go through that, but not right now.
10 years.
I know. But when I had to do an exposure, it was fascinating to be able to handle something after a thought process like that. And so mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes any sense. It makes sense in my head.
yeah.
And Gabby, you were asking if there are others. While Heather was thinking, I thought like my stuff, anything that goes on with me regarding my health or my mother's health.
Oh, yeah.
I get very, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I once found a white spot on my tongue and I was like, oh, okay, this is it. I'm dying.
That's fun.
But that is way better since medication.
Dude, shout out to medication, honestly.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
I know.
Medication. Yeah. We're all big fans. Because on my little interview card, because this is a professional podcast, so I have an interview card. I have therapy ? And then what works ? So medication works. I'm so freaking glad that you found that. I'm so glad that you're on a dose that works. Mm-hmm. I mean, finding a medication that works for you is a whole goddamn process, right?
Yeah.
And then finding the dose is a whole other process. And it takes months. And it's just like, again, I don't know. Very frustrating, I think, is my, to sum up. Frustration. Thanks, Gabby. You're welcome.
Okay. Yeah. I was really happy to have found something that worked for me on my first try, but I do have severe side effects, but I don't have the mental strength to change just for the side effects, because like I'm sweating so much all the time. Yep. And I am sleeping so much. Like, I shouldn't be able to sleep 17 hours a day. Like, you would stop sleeping at one point.
Yeah.
But it's better than what I was doing before.
Right.
I was awake and freaking out. Yeah. So, I don't think my medication is right for me right now. But it's, you know, it's... I'm gonna try something new in the future. I'm gonna find the right medication when I'm better. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. That's how it works.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's good enough.
Yeah. But seriously, right, if it's the Band-Aid that's like holding it all together, then, you know, keep that Band-Aid.
Yeah. Exactly. So if you're not doing exposures, what kind, are you doing any other kinds of therapy?
No. I used to go to talk therapy before my OCD diagnosis, and it was just like very standard. She wouldn't say anything. I would just talk. And we hit a wall at our like 10th month together, and her her solution was a Freudian stream of consciousness therapy. And I was like, this is not the 50s. Also, I'm an improviser. I'm going to manipulate that shit. I'm not going to be sincere in my stream of consciousness. I'm going to yes and myself. So it's going to turn into a weird rant and a study in character work. So I didn't really trust it. And, you know, Freud, sexist, whatever. And I stopped. And then after my OCD diagnosis, I went to... Oh, I forgot about her. Okay, I went to the psychiatrist who did play-based therapies, like role-playing, and like you are in a group.
You're role-playing in a group?
Yes.
Are you sure this wasn't an improv class?
Debbie, you were there.
Oh, that's right, my bad. Yeah,
Shannon O'Neill was our therapist.
Shout out to Shannon.
Okay, it's like drama therapy, something like that, using theater to expose, like, if you know, you are more, it felt right to me. Okay, now that I'm talking about it, it seems like bullshit. She had 5 stars on the app of where I go to get my doctors. And then I went to her and I talked about it. And she said, oh, you seem like you have OCD and some other stuff. She recommended a book. And okay, first of all, even before that, the first red flag, she said, why don't you join if you're so into comedy, why don't you join Guldur Guldur? It's like so bad. It's not funny at all. I was like, no, I'm not going to join Guldur Guldur, the Turkish television program that's been going on for like, it's Turkish SNL, but terrible. Bad, 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 bad. And I was like, it's not what I want to do necessarily. And she was like, oh, I think you're holding yourself back because of fear. I was like, no, I don't find them funny. That's not what I want to do in my comedy. And she was like, well, I think you're resisting. What do you think is funny then? And I was like, you won't know them. Have you heard of Club Coming? I didn't think so. And anyway, she recommended a book, and I was trying to be open-minded despite her terrible taste. And I went and got the book, and basically it was written by an American, but it was a tale of morality. Basically, if you have any disorders, if you have anxiety, it's just because you're not moral enough.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
What? It's like,
it's because any sort of disorder, any sort of mental health issue stems from you being an impure person. And it's just your lack of
willpower.
Yes, like you're weak.
Yeah.
You don't have anxiety, you're weak. And if you do good deeds, you're going to be less weak. And this dude was also, I'm going to find and send you the name of the author.
Yeah.
And I looked him up. He's also like a motivational speaker for corporations. So this was like a Protestant, like, oh, this is, and you do good deeds and you work really hard. And you make your boss money and then you will be healed. So that didn't work.
What? That didn't work?
No. And then I started, I went to my psychiatrist. She recommended a psychologist who specializes in cognitive behavior therapy, CBT. And too much homework.
Yeah.
I was still going, but then she offended me very deeply. And then I stopped, and now I don't have the energy to like get in the process of finding a therapist, because then I know now before I find the one, I will get called impure and morally corrupt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
The struggle to find like a good therapist.
And then also, was the person who wrote the book like OCD, like what is it?
Religious scrupulosity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 1,000%. I was like, your therapist is trying to give you scrupulosity. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. That is.
No, I mean, if it's better than contamination, I'll take it.
Listen, Ege, it's not better. It's just different. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I know. I already have the good kind. I have the good kind that's represented in mainstream media.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, yes. If Monk has it and he's just a sex symbol, then the rest of us can only strive.
Monk is a sex symbol.
Listen, I don't know what posters you have up on your wall, but I kiss his photo every night before I go to bed. I kiss it 37 times. It's not a big deal. It's not OCD.
Yeah. Now we know Gabby's type.
It's Tony Shalhoub. And honestly, would hit it. He can get it.
It's Tony Shalhoub, Lena Dunham, and me.
What? Lena Dunham? Where did she come in?
Yeah, she had OCD in Girls. Her character had OCD in Girls.
Oh, I totally forgot.
Recently, I read an article. I don't know why people are still talking so much about the TV show Girls. I don't know why it's still so important to people, but I read an essay very recently, like last week, that was like, Lena Dunham really did a good thing by representing OCD as ugly and not cute. She didn't glamorize mental illness of women. She was really ugly, and she's a feminist for it.
Oh, geez.
I there's so much to unpack with that. I don't even know where to start. I mean, Lena Dunham is not my favorite, you know, comedy necessarily, whatever, but the amount of shit that she got by just being a person in her own body.
Yeah.
It's like, must be nice. Super fun.
It was really fun watching someone way skinnier than me go through that.
Are we talking about Monk again? I hope we're talking about Monk. It's all I want to talk about. Okay. I also just very quickly want to say scrupulosity is religious, usually in basis, for those who don't know about OCD. And it is pretty much exactly what Ege was saying. It's a morality thing where you feel like it's usually tied to religion. And I'll say it. Most of my friends with scrupulosity are Catholics or recovering Catholics. And there's just like the amount of rules that come with Catholicism really just fits in with OCD so well. So if, you know, you have an inkling and then you're brought up Catholic, it can really bring it out. Yeah. And that's a painful one too. Good. Well, I'm glad I brought it down to a halt.
I can bring it lower.
Okay, let's try it.
Because I was thinking, what if ISIS is that for Muslims?
Oh yes, yes, dude. All the rules, man. But this is my theory. I swear to God. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast. I think most religion traditions and rituals, those are just OCD people throughout history trying to shove our weird shit on other people. Where we're like, do you know what? God or gods really love this certain hat. And so everybody's got to wear the hat and we've got to pray facing this way, that way, all the ways. Go get these certain plants and shake them in these directions, right? Get this incense, do this thing, stand up, sit down. I mean.
Yeah, kneel.
Don't eat pork because it's dirty, right?
Oh, yeah. Dude, how about don't mix meat and milk? And then get separate plates for that situation. Nay, get separate kitchens for that situation. I mean, come on. Mm.
That sounds good.
Thank you. Also, if our listeners don't know, I'm Jewish, so I can say that, okay?
And I was, as a secular Turkish person, I was talking about the pork regarding to Muslims.
So there.
And when I talked about ISIS, that wasn't me.
Nope, that was the fourth guest. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The unnamed guest.
The unnamed guest. Okay, well, I think we could also like go back and forth for a while and like, what kind of side effects did you get from your medication? And, you know, talk about that for a while. But I actually want to transition into comedy. Because you are a comedy great, and yes. I want to talk about so many, many things. Number one, I just want to say, improvising with Ege is such a treat, and we only do it over Zoom, and yet it is still so goddamn funny and amazing. You are so quick and so fucking funny, and I miss us doing that. So that's just a guilt trip that I'm putting on you. And number two, can you talk about stand-up? When did you get into it? How's it going? What's up?
Gabby, thank you so much. I really miss doing improv with you and interrupting you always, all the time.
Yes. Please do.
I want to blame Zoom, but I just like interrupting people. Sorry.
You should have interrupted me when you said that. Not to note it, but okay, please.
Okay, stand-up. Okay, I did improv. I started improv because I really loved UCB-style comics. I listened to a lot of Comedy Bang Bang. I was really interested in improv. We don't have UCB, and long form is like, it means boring in Turkish improv, and they don't get it. And anyway, I did short form improv with my group until the pandemic. And in the pandemic, before the pandemic, I tried to go to Chicago to take some classes at Second City one summer. and I was denied a visa. This was the Trump years, and Turkey was on the shit list. Yes. So I was denied a visa, and then pandemic happened and I was able to take UCB classes, and something clicked. Like, I was like, oh, these people understand where I'm going when I start my sentence. And sometimes with my Turkish group, even though we are from the same culture and we speak the same language, sometimes they don't like see or understand where I'm going, or I clicked way better in English. So after improv classes wrapped, I didn't have anyone like Gabby here to do improv with. So I decided to, you know what, I think I'm good at English. I'm going to try an English open mic for stand-up. And before I went, I checked with Gabby, is this funny or terrible? Like my first 2 months, I was sending Gabby everything I was writing, seeing like, is this nothing? Or is it like slightly funny? If it's slightly funny, I'll go for it. And turns out it worked. And I started doing stand-up last year in August, so a year and a half now. Yeah. And I do stand-up in Turkish, but I have like an hour and a half worth like long material in English, but only like 20, 25 in Turkish, because Turkish people are more like, what is this?
Okay, I just want to say, when you first started sending me stuff and you were like, I think I'm going to try stand up, I was like, holy shit, this stuff is so funny. If you don't get on that stage, I'm going to be personally angry. I'm so glad that you do it. And then you and I have talked about too, about how English is your humor language, right?
I think so. Yes. Yeah,
which I think is fascinating.
Yeah, it is fascinating.
Yeah. So I know you've been doing stand-up and you're quite successful. I believe that you won like comic of the night like pretty early on.
They give out awards for the best open micer. And now I do like my solo show, but I still want the record. I want to be the record holder. So like I'm the MC 1 week and the next week I'm like, I want the award now because there's a very funny Syrian kid who started, and he has very funny jokes. And I'm like, he's coming for my award. I'm going to take it. And I did my first hour long show. We had a split show with a great American comic in December last year. So like 5-6 months after I started. And then this year I started doing my solo show, and hopefully I will try, if there is no weird visa issues or Turkey's shut down or something, or if Turkey doesn't exist or something, I don't know. You never know. Unless there's an issue, I want to take my solo show to Edinburgh.
Yes.
And it's also about basically what we are talking about here. It's called antidepressed, because I was only able to do stand-up after I started the medication. And also it's a lot about OCD behaviors, like anxiety. It's just what's going on inside my head. And Gabby, are you doing more stand-up recently? I know you did a couple.
Okay, first of all, I want to say seamless transition, Ege, because I wanted to talk about your one-woman show, and I'm so excited for it to go to Edinburgh or like anywhere. I just want to see it. So that's exciting. And stand up. I would love to try it again, but my tutoring hours make it so I can't go to any open mics during the week. And then the only open mic that happens on the weekend in my area is at this theater in Oakland, which I've talked about before. My car got broken into. And then the next time that I went, I was almost in a shooting incident. So I haven't gone back. But I would love to try a stand-up again. Just got to get on that.
And are you writing more sketches? Also, can I say, as a listener of the podcast, fuck Sketchfest.
Hey, yes. Fuck Sketchfest. I'm assuming that's what the listeners are doing, is just chanting it over and over again.
Of course.
Yeah. What a bunch of...
Are you writing more sketches? I want to watch Not Sisters so badly.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I we should talk to Susan, or I mean, you could also be a nut sister if you want to.
Yes, you definitely could.
I know. We have to come up with something.
Mm-hmm. Another goal, because otherwise we're just like, hey, how's it going? I'm good. How
free
are
floating.
You? Yeah. Well, I haven't been writing a ton of sketch, which is a bummer, but I also feel like my life is not super interesting at the moment. I'm just not feeling like I'm interacting with people enough to write sketch, I guess, which is probably just a cop out.
Yeah, that's a cop out.
Yeah, okay. All right. But Heather shared a sketch a couple weeks ago, the hot dog sketch.
Oh, the corn dog sketch.
Oh, my God. AJ, I nearly peed myself. It is so goddamn funny. This one here, the sketches. Yeah.
See, she's deflecting. She's not talking about herself right now. She's telling me how awesome I am by not talking about anything.
Yeah.
Gabby, you know what?
What?
You're awesome. You're really funny.
Anyway.
Let's stare at Gabby.
She's going to cry. Gabby, you're so funny.
Oh, I think my dog needs me.
Oh.
Oh, was that my phone?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I gotta go.
I know. So I would like to be doing more comedy stuff. How about that? Yes. And I appreciate you guys saying that stuff. I do think that I'm funny. And fuck San Francisco Sketch Fest. You know, it's going on right now. I have friends in it, but okay. Fuck it.
all my favorite comics, but still fuck it. Number two, fuck the late night podcast show that sucks.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's
not good anyway. We all know it.
I know. It's so bad. But, you know, it's like being rejected by somebody that you're like, oh, this person, you know, is really smelly and they're very mean to everyone. And I don't like anything about them or their lifestyle or anything. But then you ask them out anyway, and they say, no, thank you. And you're like, oof, that hurt.
That happens to me so much because I pick someone ugly that I'm not attracted to just because I think it will be easier and I will feel safer.
Yes.
And then they're not chasing me like they should because they're an ugly, gross person. It's the worst blow to the ego. Like, it's like that time when my stalker dumped me and started stalking someone else. I was like, what the fuck?
Okay. Yeah, I'm so sorry. Number one, brilliant joke. Fucking brilliant joke. But number two, I'm sorry you had a stalker.
No big deal. I was in high school.
Oh my God, dude.
He's a CEO of a dog walking company now.
Does he use the dog walking as a cover to fucking stalk people?
Of course. He has access to people's homes now. Not mine. Does he care about me?
Listen, he's going to stalk you again. I swear to God. You just...
No.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If you just buy that new hair product, he's totally going to stalk you again.
I don't think so. It's been 10 years. He's not coming back.
Fucking, I was going to, before you had said the gender of the stalker, I was like, let me guess.
Imagine having a female stalker. She would be so helpful.
Not to say women can't be stalkers. Girls, yeah. You can be anything.
Of course.
Lean in. Okay. Also, have you been writing sketch at all, Ege?
No. Also, I do have a question for the two of you, if I'm allowed.
Nope. Mm-mm.
I've been going through kind of a writer's. Okay, sorry.
No, please.
No, please ask.
I do. I've been having like difficulty writing new material. Do you have like any exercises for like when you are experiencing writer's block?
Ooh, I'm gonna go to Heather on this.
Well, so sometimes when I have writer's block, or if I'm being self-critical, because that's really what it it is for me is I go to prompts online. I'll go to a word generator or whatever and then just base something off of that. The other exercise is just free writing. I do free writing. I mean, these sound boring, but literally like I literally free write and then something comes out of it that is either funny or on the verge of something, you know, that happened. And sometimes I'm just inspired by things that just happened. It's usually thinking about like weird conversations, like writing the corn dog sketch was actually somebody on Twitter that I followed had written something about an interaction they had with somebody in the parking lot with a corn dog. And from there, I just kind of went and I wrote something out of it. Mm-hmm. And so that took it to the next level. Sometimes when you're feeling uninspired, you could find inspiration from within or outside of you.
Someone on the outside, some stuff on the outside to draw from, because I already talked about all of my mental issues. I don't have any new ones. And I tried morning pages. It's a list of my anxieties, not in a fun way. It's just like, oh shit, I have to leave the house today. Oh shit, I have to leave the house today again. Mm-hmm. And just like you can see the effort in trying to fill the three pages. And I tried work with AI. I went to ChatGPT and I wanted him to write him.
Women can be them. AI too.
I think ChatGPT is male. Okay, yeah. But I tried to get it to write jokes so I could be like, oh, this is not a joke. Fuck you, AI. I'm going to do better. That was the logic behind me turning to AI. It didn't inspire at all, but it was really terrible what he wrote.
Well, you know what I did? You know what I did once? I'm remembering something that actually helped me generate ideas. At least this was for sketch. I had random titles for sketches that I would draw from like a bag, and then I would write a sketch in 30 minutes. And so I called it 30, 30, 30. So I wrote 30 sketches in 30 days for 30 minutes at a time.
Oh, so good. Okay. I'll try.
Yeah. And then what I did was I went to Instagram to all my comedy friends and said, give me a title. Like, just give me a title of like whatever. And then there was also, I can give you the title. I'll find out what the title generator was that I used. But it was like for novels or whatever, but it was really weird. Like there were some really weird titles that I got from it. And I was like, okay, this is what the sketch. And it was literally, I had no time to think. Mm-hmm. I just had write. And I actually had a couple, more than a couple sketches that came out of it that I was able to develop.
Some really good ones too.
That sounds great. Thank you.
I'd like to give my advice too. Thanks, AA. Please don't walk away from this. Okay. So my advice is, you know, I have the Notes app, not to brag, but I do. And I, you know, whenever something funny strikes me, I write it down. So then when I get writer's block, I'll go to the Notes app and I'll scroll through and I'll be like, holy shit, there are some brilliant ideas in here. And then I'll get overwhelmed and I won't write a thing. So big recommend.
I tried the Notes app, but new stuff is boring and old stuff doesn't make sense. I can't figure out what I meant when I wrote down tablecloth disco. I don't know what that means. I have no idea. And my last note is about Israel and Hamas. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
Why not? Say it on the podcast, AJ. Say it right now.
It's not about Israel and Hamas. It's not. It just uses the words.
Yeah.
It's nothing. Okay, see, this is unusable. I want to be with him when the earthquake hits Istanbul. Okay, were we expecting a big earthquake? And I was at a friend's house with a bunch of comics. And there was a small earthquake and we were all freaking out because there was a big earthquake last February. Mm-hmm. And we were all freaking out. I was like, I don't want to be with these people. I want to be with someone special. Like, I want to share my tent with someone I like. But I can't do that.
I think you can. And I also think that you should say it at a stand-up night where all of those comics are present. Name them by name and say, would not be with you in an earthquake.
I told them in person. As it was happening, as we were evacuating, I was like, I don't want to die with you.
You suck. Yeah. You know, I living in California, I guess, you know, we get earthquakes all the time. And a big one is supposed to come and, you know, like swallow the whole state or whatever. That's science. Mm-hmm. Do your own research. But yeah, I don't know if a stand-up comic is who I'd want to be in an emergency situation with so much as like a doomsday prepper who's probably like full MAGA or whatever, but you know they've got like a bunker to die for. So I just, you know.
But Gabby, I would be in an earthquake with you.
I would be in an earthquake with you too.
It would be fun.
It would be really fun. We would die together just laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Being like, what? I'm going to die now? Okay.
or even better, we both survive but slowly run out of our medication.
It becomes Survivor with medication.
Yes, exactly. Oh, shit. You have your own podcast, right?
Yes.
And let me tell you, just real quick, my biggest criticism of the podcast, I can't understand it because I don't speak the language.
Americans not learning Turkish. Mm-hmm.
Classic. Well, the opportunity was there in school. It was like French, Spanish, German, Turkish. Yeah. And living in California, I obviously went with French, which has done me no goddamn favors. I can't speak it. I am currently tutoring somebody who takes their classes in French. So I'm trying to teach them math, but in French.
Ugh.
It's fabulous. It is so frustrating. Anyway, back to your podcast. I'm sure it's great.
Thank you.
But seriously, what are you going to do for the Americans? Because I would just love it if all countries and people on this planet could understand that America is number one and we're your biggest demographic. So
we just put our U.S. like stamp on everything. You speak English here.
Yes, you speak English. And also, can you do the podcast while holding a gun? Because that would make it more American.
Yeah. Are you not seeing the bikini I'm wearing? The flag. Oh,
yes, I did see that. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's patriotic.
And with the American flag in the background.
And look at the butt.
That's good too.
It's look at the butt part. It's the bad flag. That's how American I am.
Yes. It's either the thin blue line flag or the the MAGA flag.
The Confederate.
I also I want to say
the
that
Confederate
your,
was one of them.
Your tramp stamp of Trump is gorgeous. It's stunning. They put every hair in the right place. And he's making that little like puckery thing with his mouth where it looks like a sphincter. Hot, dude. Hot. Guys must
go crazy for that.
And
it's so orange.
Yeah.
It's so orange.
I didn't even know they could tattoo in that color. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
I said it before. I'll say it again. I'll marry you in a second. Come get American citizenship. Get over here and let's start our comedic journey together.
Mm-hmm. I really want to move to the U.S. I think in 2 years I have a plan to be an immigrant.
Yay. Are you still planning to move to the wrong coast though? You still planning on New York? Which by the way,
New York or
comics in New York? Are you kidding? It is not a town known for its humor.
I know.
There's no opportunity. I know. There.
I heard it's like really boring, like no alternative stages, just like two guys just that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, just two guys. They have a microphone. They're quote unquote podcasting.
Yeah, like in Turkey. Yeah.
Great.
You mean West Coast is the best coast?
I do.
Is that what?
And I really mean, will you please move to LA with me? Because I don't want to move to LA and I would really like a friend.
Okay. I will move to which state has a university that will allow me to do a PhD?
We have California, I think, has some of the most colleges out of all the states.
UCLA.
Yeah.
Bam.
UCSC, Berkeley, Pepperdine.
Too north. Yeah, but.
Riverside, state schools, Long Beach. I mean, listen, what are you trying to put on airs here? It's got to be like Harvey Mudd or something like that. Like, there are lesser schools. I really petered out on that one. I don't know where it's
I didn't know if those were real schools or you were doing a bit.
I am like 85% sure those were real schools.
Pepperdine is a real thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, in LA-ish. So there you go. I think they do like psychology, maybe law. Why are we talking about this? Pepperdine hasn't paid me in so many years. And I have been nothing but the best ambassador on their behalf, where I tell people like they're a school. They have programs.
That's their heading or their branding.
Mm-hmm.
We're a school.
Yeah, question mark. I was about to go into like the visa process, the immigrant experience, and like I was like, oh, I am unqualified to be talking about this. The podcast just takes a real turn, goes full political.
Yeah. Or you're like, don't come to America. We have enough immigrants.
No.
Yes, that's my standing because my grandparents came to this country and they should have been the last immigrants allowed in this country. Yeah, you know, pull up the ladder after you get in. That's my motto. Hey. Okay, so that's dead air. I wanted to talk to you about the Edinburgh process. So are you trying to go this year or are you thinking 25? This year?
Yes. I signed the contract with a venue. I'm going to do a full run.
Holy shit. Oh my God, this is amazing. How long is a full run?
I'm 3 weeks.
Holy shit, dude. Whoa. I am so impressed. Do you need a PA?
why don't you come to Edinburgh and do a run? Their registrations are still open.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Now I have to come up with something though. Do you know the dates that you're going to be in Edinburgh? Because we have like 5 people that listen to this podcast and you're one of them, but I'm sure that we could get some ticket sales going. So when are you going to be there?
In August, August. Throughout the festival, I will do a full run every day except for Sundays. Yeah, I'm going to do antidepressed and watch a lot of shows if I get a visa. I did sign my contract, but I still need to apply for the visa. And before I do that, I want to try to register to the official Fringe registry so I can get an invitation from them as well, not just the venue, stating that they are coming to perform, not to steal our jobs or whatever they do.
Yeah, that's classic steal our job stuff. Coming in here, putting on a one-woman show when there are so many people I would love that job.
When there are so many women that want a one-woman show.
And seriously. Who have your exact life experience and want to talk about it on stage.
What do I think? The Scottish women don't have enough OCD? I'm wrong.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Thank you for saying it. You know, that's a first step. Stolen valor, you know. Yeah. Okay. So the show title is Anti-Depressed. Yes. Going to be there for all of August. You should go check it out, listeners. I really want to go. This is so exciting, dude. Is there anything that we can do to help you get a visa? Do you want us to sign something? We're Americans. Did I not say that? So. Yeah. Do you want to sign doctor's note for me?
Yeah. Like, she's okay. Signed an American.
That's it. You know, done.
I've talked to her in Zoom for like over 2 years now. She haven't talked about blowing anything up unless the scene called for it.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Only in space work, mime work, does she blow things up. And then I say, quote, she's one of the good ones. And then I sign it in American.
You say like, I know Turkey. I know where Turkey is, but like, she's quite white.
Yeah. Nailed it, dude. That's
yes.
And do you know how many emails I sign off as she's quite white, comma, Gabby? You know, so far it's got me putting on a few lists, but I see that as a point of pride. Okay. Any last thoughts about OCD comedy? You want to ask us like a million questions because you're obviously a super fan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yay. Now that's a wrap up right there. That is a wrap up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thank you for coming.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on your lines, Heather.
No. You go.
Okay.
Go.
Okay. Will you tell the people, Instagram, social media, is there any place that you want them to come see your brilliance?
Sure. You can follow me on Instagram at @egeoe. And I do English stand-up shows in Istanbul if anyone visits Istanbul at any time. Any of the four other listeners than myself of the podcast are Turkish speakers, they can read my book. Yeah, Pazam Demisik Yönetime Giriyor. And listen to my podcast, Arama Geçmişi. And
see you in Edinburgh.
Follow Gabby and Heather too, because they're so funny.
Nice fucking try. Okay, that's right. We didn't even get into your book. And also, truly, I am still upset that it is not in English. I know that I get it. I hear myself. It's ridiculous that I only speak English, but I would love to read your book. Okay. I just want to thank you so much for being our absolute first guest on the podcast. Thank you for being.
Yeah, Susan. Yeah, Kelsey.
Names, dude. That's right.
True. Yeah, Taylor Swift's cousin we took 2 weeks of improv with.
Right. That's right, dude. Oh, she was awesome. The cousin. Yeah. Haven't met Taylor Swift in person yet.
Yet.
But you've been an amazing first guest, and thank you for being so honest and open about OCD and how that's, you know, been really fun for you. Yeah, this has been great. I appreciate it. I think everybody now realizes that people with contamination are better people. Yeah,
in every way.
Yeah. And if we could
and hot.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, they've been listening to your sexy voice. They know how high you are. So I'm excited for us to put up the list of which OCDs are the best, which ones are legitimate, and which ones are just, you know, in people's head and they're just making them up for attention. So, yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
This is the end of the pod.
It is the end of the pod. Bye, 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 bye. Bye.
Welcome to the end of the show. This is Gabby Blackman.
And this is Heather Nye.
Thank you for listening to Comically Exposed. We are just a little show with two creators who edit and produce each episode. We appreciate all your support.
If you like what you heard, please follow us on Instagram at comicallyexp.podcast. That's comicallyexp.podcast.
Or subscribe to us on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. New episodes drop every other Wednesday.
Also, special thanks to Track Club and Goldenfinch for providing the music.
Thanks for listening. And hey, everybody, today is a great day to expose yourself. Okay, until next time, ta-da for ta-da.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.